I am live. I'm in Southern California. Nice to be here. As promised, we're joined right now by a senior NFL reporter and an insider for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ. Part of Tops on CBS Sports Network. Previously worked for the Charlotte Observer and was a national NFL writer at Sports Illustrated. Good friend of the program, Jonathan Jones. Jonathan, good to have you back. What's up? How are you?
Happy to be back, man. How are you?
Good, good, dude. Great to have you. Thanks so much. Let me start first by asking you about the Steelers. President Art Rooney II issued a statement, Jonathan, yesterday that he and Ben Roethlisberger met. They had a productive meeting. He wants to come back. The statement also mentioned that the next step is to work out his contractual situation. So what do you take away from that notion that they have to work out that contract? What's that mean for Ben as it relates to the Steelers and their cap?
Yeah, I mean, they've known that they were going to have to work it out because him going into the 2021 season, if they wanted him back at a cap hit of $41.25 million, that was untenable. That was never going to happen. And so, you know, this has never really been about, hey, let's figure out the contract. Very clearly, over the last couple of weeks, the Steelers had to figure out if they wanted Ben Roethlisberger back or not, because if they did want him back and they knew that, then yeah, of course they have to figure out the contract situation. And, you know, we've understood that the cap, whether the floor was at 175, obviously just got bumped up to 180, and it may squeak up to 182 or 183, but the Steelers knew that they had to get that $41.25 million cap hit down. And so they should have been working at that for a while. Certainly they have been working at that for a while. But I think the Steelers, from the very top of the organization down, had to figure out whether they wanted Ben Roethlisberger back or not. And it took them several weeks to figure that out.
I was going to say, that to me is the key point, right? So where do you come out on that? Do they want him back? I mean, obviously on some level. Let me put it to you another way. If he did not want to come back, do you get the sense that maybe they would not have been that upset about that?
To that last question, I don't think that they would have been too banged up about it. But then what do the Steelers do? Because you have to have a number of contingencies in place at that point. You're going to have to figure out, one, how you get that cap hit down. Do you want to be competitive in 2021, or do you want to have a hard reset? And I don't necessarily mean tank. I don't know if that is in the DNA of the Pittsburgh Steelers or not. But do you send a third-round pick to the New York Jets to get Sam Darnold and try to go 10-6 again and keep that no losing season under Mike Tomlin streak alive? Or do you say, all right, guys, we're just going to have to get caught up with the cap this year? So I think that that would have triggered a whole new set of contingencies for the Steelers that surely they were kicking around until Art Rooney and everyone else in the organization said, you know what, let's bring Ben back one more time.
Jonathan Jones is joining us. All right, Jonathan, what about Juju Smith-Schuster? Do you expect him to be in Pittsburgh next season?
You know, it goes back to the cap, and it's just really hard to figure out how he's going to fit under their cap. And, you know, you look elsewhere, and they obviously just lost Pouncey at center. It's hard to imagine they want to lose Villanueva at left tackle, but he's an unrestricted free agent. They're going to have to pay him, especially if they're bringing Ben Roethlisberger back. You can't lose your two best offensive linemen up there in what is most likely going to be Big Ben's final season. And so once you start seeing where the money's going, and yeah, you're going to have to extend TJ Watt at some point, no time in the next couple of weeks, but you're probably going to have to extend Minka Fitzpatrick as well. I don't know where you're going to get the $14, $15, $16 million for Juju Smith-Schuster. And then finally, the fact is that once he became that number one wide receiver, he wasn't nearly as productive as everyone wanted him to be. And so for all of those reasons, I think that he's out of Pittsburgh.
Jonathan Jones joining us, which brings me to J.J. Watt. And you just laid it out a couple of times about the challenges involving the cap. What about J.J. Watt then? Like, what's the market for him? And what kind of a contract realistically do you think he can expect to receive?
Well, that's a great question. And I think J.J. Watt right now, and I wrote this last week for CBSSports.com, I think that the longer he waits, I think the more it's going to seem to be about money, that he wants to, you know, he cares about appearances. He doesn't want to seem like some washed-up has-been, and he's not. He played very well last season. He's not the three-time defensive player of the year that he was in the middle part of last decade, but he's still a quality pass rusher in the NFL. Now, what's his contract going to be? I have a really hard time thinking that a team is actually going to pay him $16 million per year in straight-up money. Could it get to 16 if he, you know, becomes an all-pro and gets you know, 15 sacks in 2021? Sure. But if that was going to be the case, then why didn't a team just trade for him at his cap hit of $17.5 million in 2021, send a sixth-round pick to the Texans? Hard for me to believe that number is going to get up there. I do think that the real contract, if you forget about incentives, is really going to look closer to a Calais Campbell deal with the Baltimore Ravens. That was 2 years, $25 million. So we're talking about $12.5 million per season. I think that that's where it's going to be for Watts, rather than getting into the mid to high teens.
Jonathan Jones is joining us. Jonathan, one more thought about J.J. Watt. Like, to your point, he's not what he used to be, but he's still a really effective player, and he's been such a force in that league for so long. He seems to be a really well-respected teammate, but is there any concern at all about how he might fit into a new locker room?
There absolutely is. And, you know, listen, this is a guy, Walter Payton, Man of the Year, fantastic humanitarian. We know about all of his efforts down in Houston over the years and certainly during the hurricane and the flooding there. But, you know, I talked with several sources around the league about him the last couple of weeks, and there is, I don't want to say a concern. People aren't staying up at night wondering this, but they do have a question about, hey, you dominated that locker room, and then when Deshaun Watson became the franchise quarterback, you obviously dominated the defense. Everyone looked to you. How are you going to fit in a Green Bay where this is Aaron Rodgers' team? How are you going to – are you going to try to bring a mentality to the Buffalo Bills where, you know, they were a pass rush on Patrick Mahomes away from making it to the Super Bowl? You look at the Titans and, like, is what worked for you in Houston and has worked for you the last decade, is that going to work for you with slightly diminished skills now in your plus 30 season? So that's a question that teams have, and obviously he's going to have to answer that as he looks for a suitor.
Jonathan Jones is joining us. I appreciate your thoughts there. Jonathan, what about, and there's more and more information trickling out. We see an Athletic report about Russell Wilson. He stormed out of an offensive meeting because he felt like his offensive input was not valued. Like, what do you make of his situation there, and what's his end game? What's he hoping to change?
I don't really know what his ultimate end game is. If he wants more say in the offense, well, you know, he's had a pretty great deal of say as it relates to NFL quarterbacks. It's hard for me, if you look at the last couple years in the league, to find a team that has catered more to the quarterback than Seattle has with Russell Wilson. Yes, you can say Tampa Bay with Tom Brady. I think that's a bit of a different situation. I think you can look at Pittsburgh and how they've tailored that offense around Ben Roethlisberger and his deficiencies and what he has become. But really outside of that, you look at the defensive additions that they've made. You look at their free agent acquisitions. You wanted some tight ends, they went out and got some tight ends. Want a defensive playmaker? Hey, we'll send two first-round picks. We'll overpay for a safety. You know, we'll get you the weapons on offense. We'll try to improve the offensive line. And very clearly this offensive line, while not breaking any records this past season, it was better this past season than it really has been in the last few years. And listen, you want him to cook? Okay, go out there and throw the ball around a whole bunch. But then teams are going to adjust. And how do you readjust off of that? And then the Seahawks didn't. And frankly, Jim, I've talked about this before, but everyone says he's never had an MVP vote. Well, first of all, in what year were you going to vote for Russell Wilson over Cam Newton in 2015 or Tom Brady in 2017? The list can go on and on. There's only one vote. But every single year, Russell hits a lull for 2-3. This season, it was really like 4 games where he took himself out of the MVP voting. This is not an aberration. This happens every year. That's not to say he's not a top 5 quarterback in the NFL. He certainly is, in my opinion. But you go to the playoffs 8 and 9 years, you know, you just can't beat a Rams team with John Wolford and a quarterback who doesn't have an opposable thumb despite getting 14 possessions to win that playoff game. You know, maybe in all of this stuff, you can also hold yourself a little bit accountable. And then finally, you look at the teams that he's thinking about joining. I mean, the Raiders haven't had a top half of a defense in the league in the last, what, 17 years or so. You look at Mike McCarthy in Dallas, and Aaron Rodgers says, yeah, okay, go ahead and join him down there. The Saints make sense to me because of the offense, but they can't figure out their cap. So I don't really know what Russell wants, and I would love to know exactly what he wants.
Jonathan Jones, my guest. Listen, I wish I had more time for this topic, but I want to get it in here. You've got a piece up on the Women's Careers in Football Forum, which took place this week. This was your first time sitting in on that forum. What did you take away from that experience?
I thought it was a fantastic sort of forum that the NFL has given to 40 very deserving participants, female participants, and 30 of those 40 were women of color as they're trying to find their foothold in the NFL, be it coaching or scouting or in the front office. I thought there was an amazing amount of advice given from head coaches, general managers, current coaches, assistant coaches who are women in the NFL, and really advice that transcends football. It talks about passion for your industry and your craft, and it talks about how you need to, you haven't played football? Okay, call up the local high school and try to watch film with the coaches there, or get in on these clinics as we are in this Zoom world. I thought there was some really incredible advice, and you can find that entire panel online at NFL.com, but also, of course, I wrote about it, as you mentioned, Jim, on CBSSports.com.
All right, so really quickly, Jonathan, as a follow, that the number of assistant coaches went from 2 to 8. Does that increase mean that it's only a matter of time before women are serving as coordinators, even head coaches?
I think, and Brian Flores mentioned this, we're certainly closer to it now than we were 2 to 5 years ago. You know, 5 years ago, there were zero women coaches in the NFL. I do think that we're still a really far way away from that. There still has to be an intentionality by those who are hiring. There's still going to have to be acceptance across locker rooms. And so I don't want to rain on anyone's parade, but I think that in reality, we're still several years away from really getting to that point. But I am certainly heartened and encouraged by where we are, certainly compared to just as recently as 2 or 3 years ago.
Right. He is a senior NFL reporter. He is an insider for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ. You can watch him as part of Tops on CBS Sports Network. He is Jonathan Jones. Jonathan, appreciate you as always. Thanks so much. Great job.
Thank you.
Jonathan Jones.